Broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is Brother H.G. Gale speaking and inviting you to stay tuned this next hour for God's message. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can trust Thee to lead us into this next hour, that Thou will give us Thy message and bless it to those hearts that Thou will send it to by Thy Spirit. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the past hour that's gone, but may the impressions of that hour not leave the hearts, especially of every awakened sinner and every saint that's heard the message. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou art faithful. We thank Thee for Thy promises. Thank Thee for the Word, where we draw the promises from, and for Christ, who we see in every promise in God's Word. And our Father, the Word of God is written for our instructions, that it may lead us and keep us, and that we may feed upon it and draw from it all that's necessary in this life. And realizing, Heavenly Father, that the Word of God is sure and steadfast and forever. It's eternal. It'll never change. And our Father, lead us and keep us. Bless the listening radio audience. Bless the sick. We bring them to You and just trust them in Your hands. That Thy will be done. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Give as unto the Lord. If you have any loose change in your pocket, you'd like to donate to the storehouse, we'd appreciate it very much. And I'm asking, just almost forgot it, that if you, I think they're starting it in the children's Sunday school classes, if every child, everyone can bring maybe a can of something that we can add to the storehouse, it would sure be appreciated. And I'll give the same invitation to the adults here, that if you can bring something when you come to church here, some package good, canned good, or whatever the Lord may lay upon your heart. I know there's some in Radio Land that are sending some money, checks for the storehouse. I think if it catches on to us, we'll enjoy it and appreciate it. It'll be a joy knowing that what we're doing in that storehouse, giving to the needy, and if we can have some part in it. I like for everyone to have a part in it. Bring something when you come. I think it's within all of our finance. I don't think any of us will be hard up for bringing one can of something or one box of something, some staple food that cannot spoil. Well, all right, I'll just trust that in your hands and hope in the Lord will move your heart to do that, huh? And I think you'll be glad to do it. All right, now let's begin our singing this morning by singing 448, The Mercies of God. Let's everybody join in the singing. The spirit of singing, of praise, thanksgiving unto our God. The mercies of God.
Yeah.
Amen. The mercies of God. Now let's sing. Blessed Assurance, 311. I'm going to ask you to stand. 311, Blessed Assurance. Sing it right on out. All three verses. Now take a deep breath and really sing it. You got three verses to go through. Come on.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Lord, I bore thee the glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of blood, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my glory, this is my song.
Singing, come on and join with us. Seated, praising my Savior all the day long, all the day long. Once I was praising the world all day long. You know, I used to sing a lot of worldly songs. I don't say it boastingly, but I did. There was no one that loved music, worldly music, like I did when I was a younger. I found my delight in those songs. I did, because I had nothing else to sing about. That's why an atheist will never get to heaven as an atheist. Let an atheist get to heaven and they'll be singing all about blood-bought sinners and blood songs, and he'd never understand that. He'd never be able to sing. But that atheist redeemed by the grace of God will sing. He'll have something to sing about. Yes, I did delight in the world, in songs, and they cultivated the flesh and made the flesh feel good, and I rejoiced in it because that's all I knew how to do. But there's difference. There's a different praise unto our God, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So praise that lasts too. It's good to see you here this morning, this audience. Good to have you. tuned into us in Radio Land. I thought the Lord gave us a gracious Bible lesson. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject assurance. Assurance. There's no such thing as being saved and not knowing it. Now you think about that. There's no such thing as being saved and not knowing about it. If you're saved, you know it. You know the way God saved you. You know the sinner you were before God saved you. You know the sinner you are now since God saved you. Before, you were a sinner, lost on the road to hell. But now you're a sinner saved on the road to glory, to heaven. The scripture speaks of us as saints. Not man-made saints, but God-made saints. I'd rather be a God-made saint than a man-made saint. And I don't have to wait for man to make me a saint. God's already made me one. Usually the church teaches, some church canonizes a saint after they've done so much and they're dead and gone to glory. The glory, if they're there. And I doubt many of them are there. But I've been canonized a saint already by the Lord God of glory. Ye saints, unto the saints, those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been made saints in the Lord. But I praise the Lord that you can be saved and know it. Because I know it. And I believe everybody who's ever saved, they know that they are saved. They know they have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with us to the first chapter of Ephesians. And let's read the first chapter of Ephesians, the 12th and 13th verses. That we should be to the praise of His glory. Now, that statement there, you look at it, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Are you living a life that gives praise to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you living such a life? All right now, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, now we're dealing here with a personality now, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. I know I can never get away from some scriptures, and I've said it before, and I know since God has saved me, that after God saved me, I didn't realize all about the scriptures and His teachings. But later on, as the years went by, the months and years, that scripture came to me right there, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Now, there's a reason for God saving a sinner. He just doesn't save him and put him, shove him aside, put him in a hot house, or send him off and put him in a cave. He could live alone, outside of the world, never bothered by humanity and all of the world going on in the world. I often said, if the Lord shut me up to myself and set me out of a place like that, if I didn't have Christ, I think I'd die knowing I have to live with myself. See, self is always present where Christ is not present. You ever stop to think about that? You get away from the world, you get away from sin, but you've got to live with yourself. And you got to look at yourself. But listen, every redeemed individual has been redeemed by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God saves him for a specific purpose. I often thought about what the pastor used to say about he's going to put every one of us in the showcases of heaven and say, look what my grace has done. What has been wrought through my grace, by my grace. Lives that have been transformed. And that's what the grace of God does down here for you and I. It transforms hearts and lives. Lives that were given over to Satan, to wickedness, to sin, to sinfulness. The practice of it. God takes that life and transforms it into a life of holiness, a life of righteousness, a life that will glorify Him, give Him all glory and praise and honor. And that's why the Lord saves sinners. And that's the reason why when God saves a sinner, that sinner is praising the Lord, praising Him for His marvelous grace, because he was saved to the praise of that grace, the praise of that glory, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That gospel becomes mine. The gospel of my salvation, in whom after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, as we meditate upon this, we will look at three steps by which assurance comes. Now, we're not going to have time to go through all of them. But let's look at the first one. How does assurance come? How are you saved? What had to first take place in your heart? Now, you tell me that you're saved. All right, I believe you. Now, what has taken place in your heart before God ever saved you? And we're going to dwell on that first note here. That first step. Faith cometh by hearing. Now, let me ask you, how did God save you? You tell me you're saved. How did He save you? Faith, saving faith, comes by hearing, as Romans 10:17 tells us. Now, you can jot that scripture down. When you get home, you can read it. Romans 10:17. Now, you listen. Faith cometh by hearing. It is through the preaching of the gospel that God has ordained to save sinners. Through no other method. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In every age, God saw to it that His word would be proclaimed through every century. And how they've tried to destroy it. They've tried to put the light out, but God has always kept it burning through His infinite mercy. Atheist, try to put it out. No God. Modernists are trying to do away with the scriptures. They're not infallible. Finally, I read looking at one of our magazines that comes to our office desk. And being in the office now and reading, finding out what people believe and what they're teaching, I came across an article in one of our magazines in regards to the scriptures, how even the Southern Baptist Convention, many of our professors are coming to doubt the infallibility of the Word of God, the miracles of God's Word. Shows signs of the declension in our spiritual ranks. Apostasized. Just apostasy all over. I guess I almost died this week thinking about, I never knew. I got up this morning early and I said, Lord, I didn't think I'd live to see the day when those at one time preached your word and believed the Bible, the infallibility of the Bible, now they begin to find fault with it. There must be something wrong somewhere down the line. They're not saved. Can't be saved and not deny the Word of God, the miracles of God's Word, the infallibility of the Bible. You can't be saved. It is through the preaching of the gospel that God has ordained to save sinners. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, not by foolish men, but by the foolishness of preaching. In every age, God saw to it that His word would be proclaimed. Now let's find out in what respect this has happened. He raised up men who faithfully proclaim His word. And when one departs, another arrives. One goes down to battle, the Lord raises another up to carry the torch. I know that was my prayer before the Lord, the Lord took our pastor. It was for months. I know down at Picayune, Mississippi. I don't know why. We just figured his time was near. He couldn't live always. Lord, raise someone else, someone up that would carry the torch, that would be true to thy word, that would preach the gospel like it's been preached here for years and years. In our prayer service down in Picayune, that would be in our prayers. Lord, don't leave us. Raise someone else up that would carry the torch, that will preach the word and be true and not compromise. When one departs, the Lord raised up another. You can't beat God. Our modernists can't beat Him. You can't defeat God's purpose. Just because you said it, it's no sign that it's so. Elijah, take the case of Elijah. When he departed, caught up in the chariot. Yes, I believe that. Brother, I believe that. That's God's word, and I believe it. In a fiery chariot, taking up the glory, the mantle falls on Elisha. Never without a voice. God's people were never without a voice. One went down, God raised up another. They picked up the torch, the flaming torch for the gospel truth. Yes, his mantle falls upon Elisha. And you take the case of Paul as the Sunday school lesson we were teaching just a few moments ago. And there is Timothy, who stands in readiness to take over the task. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, since the beginning of time, God had not let himself without a witness. Truly, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, as you'll find in Romans 10:15. Yes, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God's true messenger does not have any trouble in getting men to hear him. Do you know that? Where the message, the gospel message is being preached in the power of God's Holy Spirit, you're going to find sinners there. You're going to find, you're going to have listening ears that's going to be there listening to you. That's why I'm not concerned about those who left here. Brother, they show me, they give me every evidence they're not saved. They tried every which way in the world to persuade the people from here to leave with them. Let me tell you one thing. If they're saved, God will give them a people that'll listen to them. Do you know that? But because they got to go around squirming, fighting, and trying to finagle, and trying to get people and call them on the telephone, I don't have to do all of that. God's given me you to listen to me. And we got a pretty good crowd here this morning giving you out in radio land to me to listen, because I'm preaching his word. Because I've got a message that you love to hear, and that by grace you'll be able to receive and embrace and become part of you. The gospel that one day you'll be able to say is the gospel of my salvation. My salvation. I've got something a sinner wants. Because I've got the word of God. I've got lots of preaching material in here God's given me. And I've got a people that wants it. Now you may go, but God will replace you with someone else. And wherever I go around the missions, there are people there waiting to hear. They want to hear. And God's true messengers, they don't have any trouble getting men to hear him. He has a message from the courts of heaven that will cause people to listen. And do you know a lot of people out of curiosity will listen? Just listen. They'll just sit up and listen. God will just make them listen. He'll give us a people to listen. Preach. Preach the word, Timothy. Preach it. Declare it. Somebody will hear it. Somebody will hear it. God will deliver some sinner by that message you preach. Stay true to the word of God. The form, the sound doctrines that have been handed down to you. Be true, Timothy. Yes, he has a message that is attractive. It's one that will ring the ears. Christ said in John 12:32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Isn't that wonderful? This does not mean that all that hear will be saved, because all will not believe. All will not have the gospel. Now you listen. And some of you here this morning, you won't have it. Some of you out in radio land, you won't have it. You'll hear it, but you won't have it. God will make you listen. And you're listening now. You may be listening to me right now, but within your own breast,
You may be scorning the message. But on the other hand, there are others that will hear it unto salvation. I praise the Lord for that. I know when the Lord was dealing with my heart almost 20 years ago, some were falling by the wayside. Some were leaving. But the Lord had a hold of my life and working a work of grace there. And the message that I was hearing, oh, was pleasing to my heart, to my ears. God made it so. God the Holy Spirit. I could not turn it down. I didn't want to turn it down. I wanted Christ. I wanted Him. I longed after Him. The more I heard the message, the more I longed after Christ, who is behind every message that's preached by the power of God's Holy Spirit, the gospel of our salvation. Christ is in the gospel. He is the gospel. He is the Savior. Yes, there are others that will hear it unto salvation. We read in 2 Corinthians 2:15 through 16, "For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life." Some will have it, some will receive it, some will believe it, some will accept it, some will graciously, the Holy Spirit will impart the gospel to their hearts. Others will reject it. I don't want it. I want my own way. I want my own will. I want the world. I want my children. I want my money. I want my job. I want all of that. They'll reject it. But on the other hand, you'll find some, I want Christ. I want to know Him. I want to be saved. I want to know the power of that gospel, of that message of my own heart and life. I want Him. And that individual, he'll never cease wanting and longing after Christ. He'll want Him more than anything else in this world. And then the time will come when the Holy Spirit will reveal the gospel, Christ, to his heart or to that heart. And they'll receive it by faith. Now listen. "But to others it'll be a savour of death and the death." Now what is the message which we are to hear? The message to the attaining of faith, that through faith we come to full assurance. Now listen. "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Let me read you, quote you from the Amplified Bible. It sheds more light on this verse of Scripture. Romans 10:17 from the Amplified. "So faith comes by hearing, hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself." You get that? Did you get that? I don't believe you heard it. Listen again. We say faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now what does that mean? Faith comes by hearing what is told. And what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, through his anointed, through his ambassadors, the Messiah himself. It's Jesus himself speaking to your heart. That's faith. It comes by hearing Christ, receiving Christ, believing Christ himself. In our text we read, "Ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Or "ye heard the true word." It does not say a word of truth, but the word of truth. For you to attain faith, it must be the word of God. Because the word has truth and substance in it. Has the Holy Spirit opened your ears, and what you heard from the lips of Jesus sank deep into your heart, and you were able by God's help to believe it as being the true word of truth? I can bear witness to the word of truth because it has been proven in my own soul. I'm a witness to the truthfulness of God's word. The truth, the word of God, the word of truth. I am a witness to the truthfulness of God's word. What joy, what delight to know that I can rely upon it, that I can draw assurance from it. To support the ground of my assurance, I can say, thus saith the Lord. Where do you find your assurance at? Where do you find your assurance? You tell me you're saved. Now, where do you find your assurance of your salvation? I can find mine in thus saith the Lord, right here. God said it. I believed it. And that settles it. Now, am I right? I know that to be right. God said it from his word, the word of truth. He gave me grace to believe it and to accept it. I heard it, but he gave me grace to believe it and accept it. And that settles it. Where do you go for assurance? Now let's go on. I can rejoice because of its revealing power. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to my heart. The word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. Now listen to me. Men are perishing today because they neglect to hear that which they draw faith from that enables them to believe the gospel. Now, men today are ridiculing the Bible. They're finding fault with it. But where else in the world are you going to find faith? Faith that will lead you to believe upon the Son of God. Faith that will lead you to trust in his precious blood. Faith that will save you, that'll keep you, and that you can walk and live by. I've had people say, you know, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Oh, I sure wish God saved me. I want to be saved. But you don't see them at services. You don't hear from them. You wonder if you don't know whether they're dead or alive. Never see them anymore. But they want to be saved. Now, they are perishing because they are neglecting the means that God has ordained for their salvation. Neglecting to hear the word. You know, a person doesn't get saved, run the church, come down, and sit down and hear the message, and then, I heard it today, I'm not saved now. And then go home, probably won't see him in 2 or 3 weeks, come back again, and it comes by hearing, you know, so I'll hear the message, and I'll hear it, sit down, I'm not saved again. Go back, I'm not saved, I wonder what's wrong. I wonder why I'm not saved. I wonder how often are you, as an awakened sinner, or you say you want to be saved, how often do you take time out to search the Word of God, to meditate upon the promises of God? No. You'd rather run here and there and call up on the phones and everything else and try to get some consolation here and there instead of going to the Word of God. That's been I tell you, the Lord's been teaching me a lot since I've been in the ministry here concerning His Word. Brother, you neglect that. You're neglecting God's way of salvation. Brother and sister, if you put this on the shelf at home and you're busy looking at magazines and TVs and everything else, and you're not giving any time to the Word of God, you're not going to be saved. You're perishing for neglect of the Word of God. You're neglecting to hear. Not only me, I'm not talking about me as a preacher. You're neglecting to hear the words of God, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ from His own lips into your heart. That's where you receive faith. The Word of God demands our first and our best thoughts. The gospel of Christ, as manifested to man, excels all other revelations. Some lady wrote me about a new discovery. Archaeologists have discovered a new book. And she wants me to give an answer along that line, what do I think about it? Nothing but fiction, that's all it is. Not real, it's not true. And so I'll write her. The Word of God here, this King James Version I hold in my hand, the Word of God, that is the Word of truth, is infallible. Cannot be changed. Man has tried to change it, tried to alter it, but the Word of God is infallible. It remains the same. I don't care what man might do to it, it remains the same. I am telling you that because I know what Satan is driving at in these last days. And let me tell you, we're in the last days. We are in perilous times. And the Scripture does teach that men are going to deny the faith. They're going to turn away from the truth. And they'll believe fables. Fables, what are fables? Half-truths. Because they are denying the inspiration, the infallibility of the Word of God. And that's the reason why they're not saved. And they never will be saved. Unless God grants them repentance unto the acknowledging of what? Of the truth. As it is stated here in the Word of God. I got a letter this week from someone who says the King James Bible is not infallible. I don't know what she had reference to, but the word therein is infallible. The truth. And I'm holding to it. Paul tells Timothy, hold fast. And the commission and the challenge has been handed down to us. Hold fast. Jesus says, I come quickly. And He's coming quickly. The signs of the time give ever evidence that He's at the door. And sinner, I don't know where you are this morning, but you are in a desperate situation right now. He's at the door knocking. Where is He going to find you? You had better cling to the Word of God. You must realize that faith does not come by seeing, like through visions. It does not come through experiences. It does not come through dreams. Now, even the ordinances of baptism or the Lord's Supper and so forth. Let me repeat again, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Word of truth. Faith does not come by tradition of men, handed down by the fathers, traditions of men. It does not come that way, faith. Because you're saved, Father, there's no sign your son's going to be saved. Salvation doesn't come by that way at all. Salvation comes by faith, by hearing the word from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ as revealed in the truth here, the truth, the gospel of your salvation, of my salvation. That's the way faith is imparted. That's faith. That's saving faith. Faith does not come by tradition of men. It does not come through visual aids, through looking at movies. It does not come through visions or dreams. Faith comes through the preaching of the gospel by those who know its quickening power. And that's true. God prepares vessels fitted for His use. Do you know that? I know years ago I said, Lord, make me a vessel fitted unto Thy use for Your glory. Knowing the power of the gospel experimental in my heart and life. And that's the only type of an individual that God can use. Those who know its quickening power. Those who have come under the influence of the gospel and were awakened by the Holy Spirit to their lost condition and brought to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows saving faith, experimental in the heart, who knows its reality. He's tried it. He's proven it. He's found God's faithfulness. Walking day by day, week by week, year by year with Him who knows His quickening power, what the gospel can do. In verse 13 of Ephesians 1, we observe the gospel of your salvation. When you receive the gospel, and the moment it is accepted by the heart, it is the gospel of your salvation. Now, what is the gospel? We've been talking about the gospel now. Let's sum it up. Now, what is the gospel? All right. It says the gospel of your salvation. Christ. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ risen. Christ ascended. Christ the high priest within the veil. Christ coming again as King, Lord and King. Now what is the gospel? Christ died, Christ buried, Christ risen. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of your salvation. That's the gospel of my salvation. You'll find that truth right in the Word of God here. And when that is made applicable to your heart by the Holy Spirit, saving faith is imparted to you to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your substitute. And He becomes yours. And no wonder you can say like the Apostle Paul and those that are saved, I know Him. I know Him. He's mine. He saved me. He delivered me by His power. I know His quickening power. When that gospel, when the moment it is accepted by the heart, it is the gospel of your salvation. And that's where your assurance lies, is in the Word of God, the Word of truth. Now, has that gospel become your salvation? Can you say this morning, I know that? How did you receive it? By faith, through faith, by hearing the word preached and taught from the lips of Christ Himself. He's the one who saved me. He's my Savior. He's the one who died for me. He's risen for me. He's coming back for me. That's the gospel of my salvation. That's where my hope lies therein. In where? In Christ. My coming hope. My saving hope, my living hope, my coming hope. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Did you know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners? You might have been a self-righteous individual all your life. But perhaps the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has awakened your heart and showed you that you have no righteousness of your own. You have no righteousness that God is pleased with. Shows you what a sinner you are. All right? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Can you say that you're a sinner this morning? Do you know Christ? Again, Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Have you ever been lost? Now, I'm asking you some pertinent questions this morning, but dealing with your heart, with you in facts, with reality. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, are you a sinner? Oh, yes, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. You are? How do you know that you're a sinner? Oh, somebody told that to me. Well, you don't know anything about being a sinner. Has the Holy Spirit ever opened your heart and dealt with you? Can you go back to the time when you took your place before God as a lost sinner and admit it in your heart that you were lost? If you haven't, you cannot say that you're saved. You cannot say that you've been found. Have you ever stood before God as a guilty sinner? Let every mouth be stopped and the whole world become guilty before God. Have you ever taken your place as a guilty sinner before Him? And you know you're guilty. You're guilty of all the charge that God has against you as a sinner. You're guilty of transgression. A guilty sinner, a vile sinner, a wicked sinner. And you wonder how in the world God could have such mercy upon you. Well, you know, that's the type of sinner God has mercy on. It's only guilty sinners. Guilty sinners. And you know you're guilty. Nobody has to tell you. You're mourning and groaning. You know you're guilty. And you admit in your heart, yes, I'm guilty. You got your mouth shut, though. It's stopped before Him. I'm guilty. It's only then that a sinner realizes the pardoning grace of God and where he realizes that the gospel that we've been talking about this morning, the word of truth, becomes experimental to that heart and it becomes the gospel of his salvation. He'll never get over what has taken place between him and the Lord. Never get over that. I haven't gotten over such a salvation since God saved me almost 20 years ago. If I just marvel at the grace of God, at the love of God, at the mercies of God for me a poor sinner that was on the road to hell, and then to realize that now I'm a child of the heavenly King, That's something I just can't understand. Like I wrote Dr. Copeland. I said, Dr. Copeland, I just don't understand the love of God. Why he loves such a sinner like me. And why he should show mercy to a sinner like me. And just rejoicing with him in God's great salvation. I would that every one of you knew. But let me tell you, if you want to know whether you're saved or lost, here's the word of God here to assure you. It's not what salvation is claimed to be today. I've been reading a little bit about this super Jesus that's going on. It's nothing but out of hell, every bit of it. It's out of hell. They deny the deity of our Lord. Therefore, they have no salvation. And they claim that our Lord was attracted to a prostitute. I never heard such devilish stuff in all my life. It's out of hell. That's what it is. Brother, we stay with God's word. You're on the right track. This King James Version I hold in my hand, the foundation of my faith, the foundation of my assurance right in there. I come to it, it speaks to me, it's real, it lives, the Word of God. And the only reason why people deny is because they have never known the power of the Word of God. And therefore, God has never called them to preach or to try to proclaim the gospel. Remember, it's only proclaimed by those who know its quickening power. And that's the individual God blesses and gives listeners to hear it. I made a statement last Sunday regards to long hair that men wear. They deny because they will not read the scriptures. The Nazarites wore long hair, but Jesus was a Nazarene. And the Apostle Paul said, I saw him. And then in, I believe it's over in Corinthians, it's a shame for a man to wear long hair. Nature teaches that. I mean, that's just nature teaches a lot of things. We don't only hearken to it, listen to it. But isn't it lovely to see a woman with long hair? But now I believe it's getting to be the opposite. The men are wearing long hair and the women are wearing short hair. I'm not condemning the practice of them. I'm just stating something that they're going contrawise on it. They're going contrary to the Word of God. They will not believe the Word of God. If they would, they listen to it. They'll dress up and they'll keep up and they'll live right. And I know what I'm talking about. It'll change all your habits. It'll make you somebody then. But the reason why you'll argue with me, even Billy Graham, he does not see that in there, no. He wrote to Dr. Copeland. Dr. Copeland wrote him a nice long letter in regards to it. He hadn't heard from him since. You see how slowly, just very slowly, we're drifting away. The church is drifting away. But that's what the Lord warned us of in the last day. And I don't care what people might say, what they might think about me, anybody else. I know that I'm right. I know that the Word of God is right. I know wherein I speak because, I just know. I'm not going to try to explain it. I just know. And if you have come in contact with this Bible here, with the power of it, you know it too. Well, we just praise the Lord for the morning worship. Praise Him for the grace He's given us. Satan is doing all in his power. I'm just warning you in case you may not be aware of it. I'm warning you what the church is trying to do through the Word of God today. Religious leaders. And every time the Lord gives me utterance, lays upon my heart to say something, I'm going to say it because I know it's going to affect somebody somewhere. It's going to make a difference in someone's heart and life. They may have never known some things, and I know we can be ignorant about a lot of things in God's Word. But once the Lord shows us and teaches us His Word and opens our eyes to things, then if we just admit it and acknowledge it, then He will show us a way out. He will lead us out. But to close our eyes and say, well, I'll constantly, continually wear my long hair, I don't think that's in the Word of God. Well, you just don't want to see it. Or for the girl who wears mini skirts way up here and exposes her body to humanity, if I tell her about being adorned as the Bible speaks, that doesn't mean that at all. That doesn't mean a thing in the world. That doesn't mean that at all. It's because they just don't want to see it. They want to have their own way. They want to do what they please. And that's exactly. I know that. That's human nature. That's human nature. And you could preach to individuals over and over and over again, but unless the Spirit of God takes the Word home to their heart and power, they'll die and go to hell. But I praise the Lord that there are some that are getting their eyes open to the truth, believing the truth, and they're coming to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that they can say is the gospel of my salvation. And that's where we're in our life. And I can go on living for my Lord, trusting Him, walking with Him. I'm aware of what's going on around us, the world. I know that. I'm aware of what you're thinking. I'm aware of what, I know you're here, many of us are here out of curiosity this morning. But I know unless the Holy Spirit makes the Word of God effectual to your heart, I may never see you again. But I tell you what you'll be doing. You'll be walking away from the truth. This is the truth that can make you wise unto salvation in Christ. This is the truth that can give you light in a darkened world. This is the truth that can give you a life that could be a challenge to the average life out yonder. And they'll sit amazed and wonder how in the world you can do it, knowing that it's not you, but it's grace. It's the grace of God within you, the Spirit of God. You're saved by grace. You're delivered by grace. You're kept by grace. You ever get to heaven, you'll get there by grace, and grace alone. That's the way I'm getting there, on the train of grace. The train of grace. Now let's stand. I kept you a little long, and may you turn to the Lord. Turn to Him. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for this hour that Thou hast brought us, these 2 hours. We thank You that we can proclaim Thy Word in truth, in boldness, and our Father, without compromise, without contradiction, unafraid of contradiction. And our blessed Father, we come thanking You for Your marvelous grace. Keep us and lead us, and we'll give Thee all the praise and honor and glory. For Christ's sake, we ask it in His name. Amen.